Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Doug Field, the CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to this week's edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. And we sincerely appreciate you taking some time out of your day on this Friday and joining us this week. And joining me in studio is our radio producer, Jonathan Field. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. We got a good program today. A lot to talk about. Our guest later on the program is going to be, our first guest will be Rick Bates, who is the CEO and founder of SingleCare. And Rick is going to be really talking to us about where technology can simplify the benefit process for both employers, benefit managers, and consumers alike. So it'll be an interesting discussion on the role technology is playing, you know, across this landscape. And then, you know, following Rick will be John Capobianco, who is the President and Chief Marketing Officer with Healthcare Interactive. And John's going to talk about the real cost benefits of wellness program, another really engaging and interesting topic. So we're looking forward, and we want to thank our two guests for joining us today. So we have a great program today. Jonathan, we're less than 60 days away from Private Exchange Forum coming up in Baltimore.
That's right. Just around the corner.
We're excited to bring the market together at that event. Again, it's September 8th and 9th at the Renaissance Hotel in Baltimore. Right now, you can register for Private Exchange Forum early bird rate.
That's right, early bird rate. And if you're an employer, remember we still do have our employer VIP program. We've already had several employers in the Baltimore, Maryland area register. And if you just go to our website, theiaccforum.com, go to 2016 events, find Baltimore, go to the register tab, and you'll see employer VIP. That is a completely free, no strings attached registration. If you are an employer, you're out there and you are looking at some of these questions around healthcare consumerism, around private exchanges, not sure exactly maybe what a private exchange is. You're hearing from different sources, different responses, of course. So, you know, we're going to tackle all these different questions related to benefits technology.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Jonathan, you talked a little bit earlier this week about studies that have come out recently, and I think one study, I believe it's Liaison.
Yeah, that was Liaison, yeah.
Didn't they say 75% of employers said they weren't going to do it, right, the private exchange?
Yeah, let me pull that up, actually, because that was definitely a pertinent bit of research right now coming out of Liaison in Buffalo. Yeah, so they lead the press release with 44% of employers would switch to a private exchange if you could control their benefits costs without compromising the quality of plans they offer to employees. So this survey actually gauged the sentiment of human resource professionals involved in benefits decision making. And then when asked to rate their familiarity with the private exchange model, about half said they were not very familiar with it.
Right, about half. And I think when you look at that half and then 45%.
And 36% said they're somewhat familiar with it, leaving, you know, maybe a 15% that are more than somewhat familiar with it.
You know, again, I think there's a lot of confusion as to what a private exchange is and what it isn't, and what is the progression to adopting, you know, a benefit marketplace platform, et cetera. And the first step people are taking is really to improve their benefit admin and benefit delivery through, implementing benefit technology. And then maybe doing some basic things with executing their benefit plan design. And our whole goal is to bring this industry together to really talk and understand employers, what are your objectives with your benefits? You know, how do you want to save money? How do you want to lower admin costs? How do you want to offer, you know, more consumerism initiatives and plans of choice? And then where can a benefit marketplace and exchange model, you know, work for you? Because the, you know, I had a discussion earlier this week with the head of a leading employer coalition, and his first comment was he talks against private exchanges.
Right.
But then when I talked to him further about what is a private exchange, what he was against was the off-the-shelf models that had been pushed by some of the vendors. And I said, that's not really what an exchange is. That can be one version of exchange, but it's not what an exchange is. And his eyes opened up and he said, hey, you make a good point. And, you know, maybe we ought to relook at, you know, communicating to our employer population about, you know, seeking to understand, you know, what can help our employers save money, lower admin costs, and offer better plans of choice to their employees and do it in an efficient manner, you know, through these evolving, innovative benefit technology platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ultimately it comes down to, I mean, what are the employer's needs when they look at their benefit strategies?
Yep.
And does a private exchange line up with those needs, or does it meet those needs?
But,
and, you know, of course, not all vendors are going to be the same. And, of course, not all workforces are going to be the same. Not going to be the same.
Right. And then what's an employer's roadmap? In fact, we're going to open up our event, you know, with our opening session, really talking about an employer's roadmap and really talking about, you know, kind of the different generations of evolving exchange model. You know, version 1.0 is really the market looking at how to improve, you know, their benefit admin and benefit delivery through these technology platforms and how to put their benefit plan design on these platforms.
Right.
The second generation is evolving and adding not just more well-rounded voluntary benefits, but adding telehealth, adding transparency, adding, you know, wellness, you know, to these platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And then the interesting discussion evolves then into where as these platforms mature, as this market matures, and that's where the consumerism fit comes in and how do you execute, you've got these changing care models out there. It's out. So how do you deliver care and how do you help manage care? Well, where can these technology platforms and where can a good exchange model help, you know, employers, you know, deliver care and manage care, right? So
yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that more and more employers are looking at. And, you know, maybe it's years away for some people. But yeah, it makes sense that they would come together. At some
but good
point.
Benefit plan designs do evolve, you know, particularly if you're a larger mid-sized company and on up, you know, you're on a 2, 3, 4, or 5 year, you know, evolving benefit plan design. So anyway, the goal at Benefit at Private Exchange Forum is to bring you together. Bring, if you're an employer out there listening, if you're a broker and advisor, if you're a TPA and health plan, this is why you should come.
Right.
Listen
or
and be engaged in this discussion. If you're if you're a sponsor, if you're a potential
vendor.
Sponsor, if you're a vendor, if you're an exchange provider, if you're a voluntary benefit company, if you're a telehealth or any other part of the other care model, you need to, if you're vested in this market, you need to be here to really state your business case, you know, to the, to, you know, to this audience. And our goal, and it always has been our goal here at the Institute, and it is with our private exchange forums, is to be the place, the collective place the industry comes together to collaborate and seek to understand what can or cannot work for an employer. So whether that's your client or whether that's you, the employer directly, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything that you just said. And, you know, it's definitely from the vendors, which you mentioned, and the exchange providers. I mean, I definitely, you know, survey after survey says that HR benefits decision makers often make decisions based on what their peers are doing.
Yep.
So, from my perspective, I mean, the more sort of case studies, and we already have some of those lined up at the event, different size employers, different types of workforces, the more of those that we can see, and, you know, Willis Towers Watson just put out a really in-depth, you know, case study of their client Living Social, which is, of course, you know, a very millennial-skewed tech-heavy workforce. They just put out a very in-depth case study on their experiences on Willis Towers Watson's One Exchange. So, I mean, you know, with the event, that's definitely one of our goals. And, you know, the vendors that have exchanges that believe in that, you know, whether through our event or through articles, press releases, podcasts, whatever, absolutely crucial that they show success stories.
Yeah, the time this industry comes together and really talks about those success stories. And again, our early bird rate, go to theihccforum.com and you can access Private Exchange Forum. Also, while you're there, you can check in on IHC Forum West, November 9th to 10th, where you can get Super Saver Rate. And now I'd like to welcome our first guest on the program and a sponsor at our events, and we thank them for that, an affiliate member, is Rick Bates, CEO and co-founder of SingleCare. Rick, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hey, good to have you here, Rick, and you're coming from my hometown there. If you're coming from
That's
Columbus.
Right. Yeah, go Buckeyes.
Yeah, you're talking to a buck here. So.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Rick.
Right.
Yeah, Rick, it's great to have you on the program. And before we kind of take a deep dive into this important topic, give our audience a background on SingleCare, if you would, please.
Sure. So SingleCare is a new benefits company. What we've tried to do is create a solution for consumers to purchase healthcare goods and services directly. So SingleCare is an online retail marketplace that has full transparency of pricing and a broad array of healthcare goods and services, ranging from pharmacy benefits to dental, vision, behavioral health, chiropractic care, physical therapy. I'm you know, really focused on outpatient care necessities.
You know, technology is really coming in to play a key role in this marketplace, and I think, you know, the topic today, and actually well said, is it really, you know, how can technology simplify the benefit process for employers, their benefit managers, and the employee consumers alike? So, you know, as we kind of jump off here, Rick, you know, how can employers and benefit managers view the unforeseen consequences of the Affordable Care Act as opportunities to innovate within this benefit space? And kind of a tag on is, what are the top issues they're facing?
Well, I think everybody is struggling today with how you navigate the healthcare system. And that's not just questions of where to go to get care, but how much care is going to cost. And do you need approvals? How do you gain access? What should you expect to pay? How do you understand the obligation of your insurance carrier versus your personal financial exposure? And who's helping you understand how you can be the most efficient with your healthcare dollars? And we just believe that. So we believe that a technology platform that enables a consumer shopping experience where costs of care are published, where information is provided directly to consumers, where we've simplified the experience for both the healthcare shopper as well as the provider, you know, eliminating administrative burdens and challenges, and just facilitating the provider-patient relationship, is a very big step in improving the healthcare experience for both consumers and providers alike.
Because you know, a couple of dynamics on the care side too, Rick, I think you would agree. I mean, first of all, care choices are evolving and changing quickly, right? They're, you know, you have telehealth evolving, you have different care networks evolving. And when you look at care, it's not a very consumer-friendly environment yet, is it?
No, not at all. And this is why we love our telehealth solution. We think that there's going to be a great opportunity for growth of telehealth utilization. It's a terrific model. It's an efficient model. We have a great partner in American Well. And we just see telehealth as a major step in improving people's access to care, very, very cost effective, and also easy to do from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, and it's actually proving itself with degree right now that it does improve, you know, the prevention diseases. I mean, a lot of people, when telehealth first came out, felt that people were going to take the easy way out, but it's actually showing that people are going for care more often through telehealth, right?
Yes, we're definitely seeing an increase across that industry in utilization, and I think it's becoming more consumer friendly. And you know, certainly we would agree that it's improving health outcomes and also driving affordability.
Obviously, telehealth is one of those strategies that helps some, cut some of the costs. But, you know, what are some of the others? But kind of before that, why are healthcare expenses continuing to increase for both the employer, which is near and dear to them, and then their employee consumers?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges is that there still isn't transparency across healthcare costs and services. So the consumer continues to rely on their healthcare insurance and doesn't have visibility into the cost of care or the alternatives that help them, find more or less, more efficient or less costly avenues for care. There continue to be significant administrative burdens, and those burdens create challenges for the providers in the community and for you as a consumer to get access to care, making sure you have the right approvals and you actually understand how your policy works. And then generally, as a country, we haven't really taken steps to address the incremental cost of care, the healthcare inflation. What we try to do is push more of the spend onto the consumer, increase deductibles, limit benefits. And what we're seeing today is a continued rise in healthcare premiums, and at the same time, a diminishment in the quality of the benefits offered. So there's just more challenges that both the employer and the actual employee or consumer face. And there don't seem to be cost-efficient solutions that have really made their way into the employer market the way that they should.
Yeah. How did you, what was kind of the genesis of your thinking about single care, Rick? How did this all come about?
So we had a lot of personal experience with the healthcare system and struggled with one of our children who, after having an accident, there was quite a bit of care that was needed, and we were trying to navigate the system, and it was very difficult for us to understand what our insurance would cover, what our personal exposure was going to be, why certain benefits were on the non-covered or had benefit limitations. And it was pretty frustrating, and as we were dealing with this, I was beginning to think about a new platform and how to simplify the healthcare experience. And three things really struck me. Certainly it's affordability and making sure that you're always getting the most competitive market price that you can. The second was the transparency of that pricing so that consumers understand what they're going to have to pay before they see the doctor, not 30 days later when they get a bill or understand what was covered or what wasn't. And then finally, just the simplicity of the experience. And can't technology be developed so that it can bring all of these components together and create a foundation that is going to be a healthcare destination for consumers so that they can improve their education, they can do a better job understanding the differences between costs of care, whether that's in a local marketplace, whether it's by provider or specialist, or finding solutions to get access to care that would either be non-covered or limited benefits or things that they're, quite frankly, that they're just don't have insurance or coverage for today.
So from an employer and benefit manager perspective take me through how they can take advantage of single care and use the platform to kind of elevate their benefit program.
It's a great question. So today, employers are struggling with the continued increase in their cost of medical coverage for their employees and the cost-sharing component of that and what burden they're going to put on the employee for their contribution. Single care has been developed to offer a suite of products and services at no cost to the employer or the employee. So we don't charge a subscription fee or a membership fee. What we are is this open marketplace, and we're giving employers a solution to help manage their ancillary benefit costs down, because we see dental and vision coverage as just prepaid service plans that aren't very effective in the marketplace. We want to create direct access to telehealth at a very fair competitive market price. And then there also are pharmacy products that are purchased by consumers that aren't covered, whether it's they're not included in their formulary or they're considered lifestyle drugs. And we have a very simple solution that can be deployed through an employee benefit offering at no cost, because the way SingleCare's business model works is there's a transaction fee whenever somebody utilizes care, right? We don't believe you should have to pay a subscription fee to have access to fair prices. And our transaction fee is built into the cost of care that we publish to our consumers and our members. So we think that we offer a terrific scenario for employers when insurance doesn't work, or when employees are struggling with the cost of care, or if they have a part-time population that is not eligible for benefits, where they have a population that's has a lower wage base, and we know that their medical plan is unaffordable. So we've tried to build the simplest platform that an employer could offer to their employees, incorporate into their benefit plan, and it's basically a no-cost solution for them that adds a tremendous amount of value.
So there's no cost for an employer and their benefit team to implement this and put it in place. So now I'm an employee consumer. So take me kind of through that experience. Now, you've already alluded to the fact there is a transaction. There's not a subscription fee for me, but there is a transaction fee if I utilize telehealth in one of the services. Is that the way I understand it?
Yes. So
okay.
We've tried to build single care so that it's resembles a typical online shopping experience. So if you look at a company like Amazon or eBay, when you get online and you want to shop and search for goods and services, you'll create your own member profile where you put in your personal information, including name and address, email, and also your credit card. And then you determine what products and services that you want, identify where you want to get them, and then you aren't charged unless you actually purchase. So it's the same principle. It is really meant to be an open retail marketplace. Where SingleCare makes its money is in the published pricing for services. We have built in a transaction fee. So, for example, if you went to see the dentist and your charge was $100, SingleCare would manage that transaction. When the dentist checks you in, then you're authorized for service. They turn around, complete your care, you're billed $100, and they check you out of the dentist's office. That $100 is charged to the consumer's credit card, and then our contractual rate would be less than $100, and we would reimburse the dentist's office accordingly. And so the consumer never pays more than what the published price is on our site, and then the provider benefits from working with us because we make payment in full in 48 hours to them. And then everybody has an electronic record and history of their experience.
Now, Rick, you're actually rolling this out across the country. So where do you provide coverage right now? How many states are you in right now?
Sure. So we're in 5 markets today: Arizona,
okay,
Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. We have a national offering for telehealth through American Well and a pharmacy benefit card. And we are expanding our vision and dental offerings to be national by the end of this year.
Yeah. Rick, I love what you're doing. We got about a minute and a half here, and I want you to, if you would, kind of give us a little look ahead to the future of healthcare and how it kind of looks for all these parties, both, you know, the employer, their benefit teams, and the consumers, and kind of what's next in your view and vision?
Well, I think the most important thing is complete transparency of pricing by all parties. Consumers should know what they're going to have to pay. They should be given the opportunity to determine where they want their care, and they should understand the differences in pricing. The other thing, the second most important thing in my view, is leveraging technology. And whether that's to access more efficient care, like we've discussed with telehealth, or whether it's to eliminate these enormous administrative costs associated with managed care and benefit management and claim processing, we need to simplify the consumer experience. We need to remove all of these different administrative barriers. We have to figure out how we're going to measure and manage outcomes, because that's where the most significant, you know, the third component here in my mind is improving outcomes and having the data to really measure and determine the best paths for success. Because if you can publish pricing, if you can leverage technology to eliminate all of this administrative burdens and expense, and you can really drive towards better outcomes, those are the three most important steps to managing the significant financial crisis that healthcare has become in our country.
That's excellent stuff, Rick. Excellent discussion today, and look forward to continuing it with you. If our listeners out there, if I'm an employer listening, if I'm an advisor listening, and I have a client, let them know how they can get in touch with you and find out more.
Very simply, if you go to singlecare.com, then you can contact us directly via email or our corporate number, and we would love to have the opportunity to speak more with anyone who's interested.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us, and go Bucks, and have a great weekend.
For sure. Thanks a lot. You too.
Thanks, Rick.
Bye.
Take care. Good stuff, what they're doing. You know, very
innovative
and integrated, addressing both transparency, access to care.
Bringing together a lot of different pieces and creating a very user-friendly e-commerce platform at the front of it. And
I mean, you know, when we don't have – you know, when we're turning consumers loose and saying, mm-hmm. go find it, you know, that's a pretty complicated, dense jungle, you know.
Yeah.
And solutions like what Rick's doing with mm-hmm. single care are one of the answers. Here's a go-to place you can go to access care. First of all, I can access telehealth that I need. If I need deeper care, here's the other access to care. And, you know, here's the comparative, et cetera. So good stuff they're doing.
Absolutely.
You know, we're talking about it as we kind of wait for our second guest. We kind of alluded to it on the first break. You know, yes, we're focused on Private Exchange Forum, but our big follow-up to IHC Forum and Expo is our IHC Forum West, November 9th.
That's right.
Las Vegas. With a heavy focus on innovation and technology evolution and case studies. Plus, following the election by one day, too, or 2 days. So.
Yeah, I'll definitely bring some.
Well, those decisions sure will be done. There'll be interesting discussion in the hallways and, you know, on the convention floor, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, if you're out there and you're a speaker and you have a story for us to tell, I mean, contact us. We're finalizing the program over the next 30 days, IHC Forum West. If you're a sponsor, we'd love to have you with us to tell your story, to state your business case, to be present. There'll be 500-plus, you know, attendees, you know, at this event. And obviously, if you're an employer, an advisor, TPA, or health plan, we urge you to attend. And right now, you can take advantage of Super Saver rates, $99. Right,
mm-hmm.
to
yep.
attend, very attractive. So if you're somewhere on the beach and you got your laptop up or your phone up and you're listening to us or you access our site, you know, check it out. Go to www.theihccforum.com. You know, the other reminder as we wait for our guest is we're head down. We're, 30 days from our Superstars and Innovator nominations closing.
A lot less than that. We're about 2 weeks now.
Two weeks. So real opportunity for somebody to nominate an innovator out there, to nominate an employer they see getting good work done, and an advisor, right? So again, go to our website, theiacc.com. You'll see it right on the homepage, and nominate somebody. But we get this from the industry. This is about the industry telling us who the stars are, who the quality players are getting good stuff done. I'd like to welcome our second guest onto the program today. We're excited to have him join us, and their organization is a part of the IHC. But John Capobianco, who is the president and chief marketing officer at Healthcare Interactive. John, good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you this morning?
We're great, John. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule and joining us today. We're glad to have you on the program.
All right. Well, speaking of being at the beach and having your laptop open, I'm looking at the beach right now.
There you go. I'm jealous. We're stuck in hot Atlanta with no water in sight. So, hey, John, give it, before we kind of take a deep dive into, you know, the subject around real cost benefits of wellness programs, give our audience a background on Healthcare Interactive, if you would, please.
Well, sure. Healthcare Interactive has been around for about 7 years. We have a large number of employees already on our program. The system was developed as a technology platform. So the company started out building technology platform, and I mean that in the truest sense of technology platform. That means it is an integration platform. It is a workflow engine. It is all those things first. And then on top of that, we have built a series of products so that we can support what we think of as advanced health planning. So we built an enrollment and eligibility system, and we put that on the platform. We populated it with all the corporate wellness programs so that you can define your plans and engage your employees. Then we added to the platform all of the incentive management program that actually makes population health work, because it's part of the problem we see in the industry is that it's not an integrated piece. The incentives aren't an integrated piece of the wellness program. On top of that, then we built the health system direct connect with physician-managed health care, and then the primary care networks were added, and all the way up through the whole self-funded health plan essentials in the system. So we have a very complete system offering. The company has, we have health coaches and navigators and, of course, technology departments and account managers to help human resources organizations map out their programs for the year and make them all work properly. Of course, the health coaches and the navigators work directly with the employees. So we think of ourselves as a full-service advanced health planning, really directed towards the employer and the employee, and how do we help employers get real benefit from wellness programming and engaging with their employees, at the same time making employees healthier and engaged in their own health process, so that, in fact, they are getting the benefit of working with what we think of as progressive employers that really want to, engage with their employees, because it's important.
Yeah, it is. And there's actually two really conflicting trends out here in the marketplace that I'd like you to talk to. One is that there is no argument that wellness is going mainstream, that wellness programs are popular. Kind of running parallel with that is the kind of the doubt surrounding the effectiveness of the program. Wouldn't you agree on both those points?
I think you're absolutely right. And the problem really is that, let's take a step backwards. You know my background. I also come from the care management side of the world. I've been on both sides of this equation. And the problem is that healthcare is messy. And so if you have a company that's really looking to do wellness programming and the CEO is really engaged and involved, if he's successful in pushing his organization and getting a good wellness program together, The problem is they've got to buy it from, you know, 7 to 15 different vendors. They're buying a piece here and a piece there. They're buying best of breed. And what happens is the human resources organization becomes the integration platform, which means they're sneaker linking. And this, by the way, sneaker link means walking paper from one desk to the next. They're sneaker linking together a whole bunch of different applications, and it becomes onerous on the human resources organizations, and they rightfully so object and say, this is hard for us. We don't know how to do all this, and there are no easy platforms. By the way, our best potential clients are people who have good wellness programs and are conflicted with all of this, but it's hard. Because our integration platform is designed to fix all that. So you're right. There's no doubt that it's all going mainstream, and you're right that there's worry about it being effective. And the reason it's not effective is because nobody's figured out yet that it has to be one set of systems that all work together. They have to communicate and not have human intervention at every turn, because that's not the point of computer systems. What we're supposed to do is to provide an integrated platform upon which people can implement these solutions quickly and easily. And that's what Healthcare Interactive, or what we like to call HCI Active, has been able to do. And according to the industry analysts I talk to, we are unique in this solution. Everybody else is trying to cobble together pieces. And I feel for the poor human resources organizations, because they're trying their best, but their job is very hard when there's no integration platform underneath it.
Yeah, and I think you would probably agree with this too, is that health-related cost savings are incredibly important around the wellness program. They're important. But that's not the only thing. I mean, that's not the totality of really effectively measuring a wellness or well-being program, is it?
Well, it really isn't. But of course, again, most of this is driven by HR organizations, and they are driven by the CFO showing up in front of them, usually late in the summer, saying, okay, what's this health program going to cost me this year? So it always starts out at cost. My problem with that is that that means that you think that this is a commodity, and in fact, it's not a commodity. When we talk to employers, what we're saying is, you know, we see 81% of large employers and 49% of smaller employers want to offer health improvement plans and wellness plans because it's a competitive advantage for them. You can't just compete for the best employees when really your goal is attracting and retaining employees, because that's how you build your business. You can't do it with just salary. You got to give them something else, because salary, by the way, is just a commodity. It's just money. But if you can give them great wellness programs, and a lot of them do, you know, and since most of the employers are now self-insured, we know that, you know, this is an important component for them. So instead of the – and by the way, I talk to C-suite people all the time, and while the CFO always asks me first, how much is all this going to cost and what am I going to save? My answer to that is cost savings are table stakes. Everybody's going to give you cost savings. That's the commodity. Okay. What you've got to look at is how is this going to help you attract and retain employees, because that's how you get to market more quickly. That's how you expand your markets. That's how you retain your customers. And by the way, that increases your productivity and profitability, as well as drives down recruitment costs and retraining costs and all those other costs, not just the cost of healthcare. And that's what we have to look at in the larger picture of how do you make your company more competitive? And of course you should save money. Okay, you should contain your cost, and you're going to do that by identifying where are the high-cost individuals. How do you engage them with health coaching? How do you make them not get worse? You probably can't make them better. You probably can't drive down their costs, but you can make them not cost more year after year after year. And that's where a lot of the health system cost savings come from. But you got to look at more than that. And we think that that's critically important. When I talk to CEOs, understand that sometimes again, I always get frazzled a little bit when I read things in our industry and I say, you know, some newspaper article comes out, well, this city put in population health and look at the money they saved. Yeah, but mm-hmm. think about the people. Think about what happened with them. Think about how they engage. That's important. Mm-hmm. That's just as important as how much money you saved in your healthcare costs.
Yeah, because it is a lift to productivity and performance, which are really two different things, as people talk about. And I think as we face a workforce shortage, a skilled workforce shortage in this country moving forward, retention is incredibly important. And wellness programs have a role to play there too, correct?
Absolutely. Well, again, that's part of that whole attract and retention base. You know,
yep.
If you're going to look at how do I get this next great employee, which, by the way, there's a large cost associated with that, because not only do I have to attract them, I got to recruit them, I got to get them in, I got to give them all I got to train them, I got to wait for them. You know, let's say you hire a salesperson. You don't actually think they're going to be productive for the first 4 months that you brought them in. So you're going to pay to bring in this person. You know, you bring in a highly qualified person, you're probably going to pay a recruiter, you're probably going to train them on your products, you're going to wait for them to build their pipeline, and all that time you're paying. It's not just the cost of their health care, you're paying. Well, once you reach a point where they become productive, you want to now retain them. Well, you don't want the next guy to, you know, in the next company next door looking and saying, oh, that's a good salesperson. I'll offer them 10% more in salary, and I'll steal them away after they've become trained in our industry. Well, you need to be able to retain them, and that's the thinking behind the wellness programs. When you engage the employee in wellness through your efforts, through your company, you're telling them something different than I'll pay you. You're telling them, I care about you and your family. I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to help you and your family be healthier, have better well-being. I'm interested in that as an employer. And not only that, we're paying for a lot of this. And that's going to – you don't have to tell them it saves you money. You're telling them you're engaging with them as human beings in your company. And that builds loyalty. That builds – the attraction that keeps that employee, that retains them longer term. Not only do you have a better program, not only are they engaged, but, you know, we go through these things like, oh, there's kind of social media aspects of wellness now. They do challenges. People get engaged. It's almost like a marketing program inside your company. Let's get everybody to walk 10,000 steps. Well, let's create a social media, if you will, and it gets everybody to work together and talk together. And, you know, they launch these programs internally. This is powerful. As a C-level executive, I know how powerful that is in your organization. Getting people engaged with your company is 10 times more important than how much you can pay them salary. Of course you got to pay them. Nobody works for free. But when you can engage them, you get loyalty, you get engagement of your employees, and you can't have anything better than that as an employer.
Yep, I would agree. John, is there a certain demographic or target size employer that is a better fit for your solution, or do you serve all different types of employers?
You know, we have all kinds of different employer sizes. Now, we direct contract typically with larger employers because it's mm-hmm. easier for us to do that. But we have great channel partners as well. We work with a lot of brokers and a lot of third-party administrators, and we build our systems for them. Sometimes we private label for them so that they're offering our applications, but it looks like theirs. And sometimes they just offer ours. We don't really care. What we're interested in is how do we offer that best program out in the marketplace. And, you know, a lot of third-party administrators target much smaller organizations. And as long as they're accumulating them, it still makes it easy for us to do all of that. And on larger organizations, we direct contract typically. And again, we're not proprietary about that. It doesn't matter to us whether we go through a third-party administrator. And our newest set of advanced clients really are the health systems themselves. We have several health systems now who have recognized, you know, you look at the industry in, issues and you say, you know, about almost 30% of employers expect to direct contract in 2018 with the health system in their area. Well, that's a powerful statement to the health systems
sure.
who want to provide this level of service. So we now have health systems, and by the way, health systems by themselves, they need a sales force, so they need a brokerage. They need an administrative system, so they need a third-party administrator. They're the physician networks, and they accumulate this, and we provide them that system of record, the integrated incentive platform upon which they can do their enrollment and their eligibility and their wellness programs and their plan designs and their physician-directed networks and their you know, capitation tables and all the things they have to do in order to provide for them the ability to direct contract with employers. So the employer gets benefit from that because they can go to a more self-insured model. They can direct contract with their, you know, their large health system in their area. They get the best service for their employees. The employees are happy because they get low-cost care. They get a concierge card. They feel like they have a direct connection with their physician. We can put in incentive programs for the physicians and incentive programs for the employees, and everybody's working across the same methodology of wellness and, you know, best practices. And by the way, we're not dictating to the doctors what they do. We provide wellness programs.
Yep.
But they're the ones that drive, you know, the interaction with the employees as much as anybody. So there's wonderful new things coming out. We have, you know, individual clinics that want to do business with us. We have large health systems that want to do business with us. And, of course, we also go, you know, direct to the employers. So there's all kinds of ways that the employers can engage and get this kind of best-of-breed care for their employees and at the same time provide them with a unique set of attributes that, again, helps them in their marketplace, helps them become a better and stronger company. Of course they save money, but that's not the point. The point is, how do they get better?
That's great. I mean, we're at the end of our segment here, and this has been a very interesting discussion. I sincerely appreciate you taking time with us. Let our audience know how they can get in contact with you, please.
Well, the best way is just to go to www.hciactive.com. That's where we are. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us, and our people would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
John, listen, very, very good discussion, very relevant topic on what you're doing. We appreciate your involvement with us as well. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Take care, John. Good discussion today.
Great program.
Really appreciate Rick and John joining us. Two interesting topics. Kind of all comes together eventually as to how we better serve the consumers, how we keep our employees engaged and happy and retain them, how we help them access the right care at the right time for the right price, and, you know, take care of their health. To our audience out there listening, thank you so much for joining us today. Just a final reminder about Private Exchange Forum and IHC Forum West both. You can go to theihccforum.com and access information on both those programs, access both the early bird rate on Private Exchange Forum, Super Saver rate on IHC Forum West. We're going to take a breather next week. We will not be on next Friday. Jonathan's going to go to the mountains in Montana and have a great time out there. But we'll be back the following Friday on Healthcare Consumerism Radio, and we sincerely appreciate you being with us. Enjoy your summertime weekend.